If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the All It Is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Our seminar topic this evening is, Are You Getting the Message? And your life is your message. And your life is also a message. So if your life had an overall message that it keeps attempting to convey to you, what would it be? Let's pretend that you know, okay? And let's begin with a little exercise. But before we go into that, let me clarify a little bit about the way that light enters the consciousness and the way that you access life and light so that there's a balance between the positive and negative flows of energy within the body. Spiritual light, the anointing of the divine spirit, comes down through the top of your head. It descends from your higher oversoul and Christ's self templates and the energies of the higher chakras. Your own personal energy, your electromagnetic field, the energy that constitutes the psychic and material realms, which would be anything beneath the level of the soul or Atma, that would be your emotional, your mental, your etheric, and your physical energies. Those energies flow upward. And when the two energies meet, the positive energy descending down into a triad, and the electromagnetic field of your striving ascending upward in an ascending triad, the two, when they converge, make that sacred geometric symbol of the Star of David or Solomon's shield or the six-pointed star, which in Vedic understanding is also the star of Shamukanata, or the Lord of the Six Faces, which is the name for Subramanyam. And that is the aspect of God that represents the perfection of divine and human attainment merged into one. And the symbol, Shamukha, means the six faces. Shan means the six. Mukha means the face. So there are six faces that form the perfection of the divine human. And that's when your striving is met with the downpouring of the light that you invoke. So it's your evocation as you supplicate and move yourself into those higher levels of attunement, and the divine response as it flows down over you. And so the attainment of the balancing point of those two interlocking triangles is the goal of all spiritual integration. And so, let's say that when those are merged and in balance, you have that perfect manifestation that was exemplified by Christ Jesus. And all of the ascended masters, to some degree, have attained levels of that, some, like Christ, more than others. But eventually all come into that perfect balance. And that's what we as a human species are moving into now. We're moving beyond the five-sensory human being to the multi-sensory, multi-dimensional human, which is the heavenly, universal thinker, knower, and being that transcends just simply being in the human state. And so everything that's happening on our planet now, with our sun, the solar emissions, everything, is part of that process of inserting higher level frequencies into the body, mind, and auric energetic field of each individual as well as the planet. We cannot not change under this constant infusion of higher solific energies. And remember, the sun represents our solar angel, our solar nature, which is the Atma, or the spirit, or the soul. So every time you have a blast from those solar emissions, you have to make room and expand. Many of you contract, and when you contract, you have pain, particularly headaches. Try expanding your sense of your skull beyond your head. Take your hands and move the sutures, if you will, in your imagination. Move the sutures of your skull to allow for a greater entrance of those solar energies. And where you feel pain, encourage yourself to expand beyond that pain. Some of you are feeling very tired and fatigued, and that's because the friction between those higher energies and the established energies of your electromagnetic, let's say, field of habits are in somewhat of a disparity. They're in conflict, in other words. So there's some burn, there's some abrasion, there's some friction between the two of them. But that is also experienced as a sense of heightened heat in the body, as well as inflammation, pain, and again, headaches and sore spots in your muscles or wherever you tend to have a constriction of energy or an area of weakness. Your areas of weakness are usually where you're going to find the most discomfort. So you don't have to go trotting off to a doctor with these symptoms, because they're going to scratch their heads and say there's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. Well, actually it is, but not exactly in the way they think. So expand as in every way that you can, and don't contract in fear. Every time you contract is when you go into some negative fear of clinging and trying to hold on to the levels and things that you've outgrown. And you can't take them with you. You have to come to this new level like a virgin. Completely new. Completely born within a new energy field and state of awareness. So allow yourself to be undone and remolded and gently escorted into this higher level of consciousness. It doesn't have to be difficult. You make it difficult yourself when you fight the process. Come into, how could we say it? Find a way to accept what's going on. Find a way to accept. See it and as its overall benefit. It may look really dire right now to you. And in many life expressions, it is being experienced that way. But trust the outcome to be something truly wonderful. If you can do that, you'll make it much easier for yourself. So let's do a little exercise. This is going to be called the Koh-i-Noor. Upon the astral plane, there's a beautiful mountain of light, which is what the term Koh-i-Noor means. It means mountain of light. Many of you are familiar with it who are conscious soul travelers. And it serves two purposes. Number one, it can be yourself your safe place. It can be your hiding place. When you feel like you need to get away from the world, or you feel like you're bombarded with psychic energies and influences that are just overwhelming and too much for you, you can enter the mountain of light. And it's an imagination that is actually real. Because remember, the astral plane is the plane of imagination. So whatever you imagine instantly becomes so on that level. So if you will, take a deep breath. And first of all, ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow down over you this evening, bringing forward whatever would be for your highest and best good. Ask for the message to be revealed to you that would be appropriate for you at this time to take into consideration. We ask that only that which is life-affirming, that would be a benefit and a blessing to you, to be revealed. And we ask that anything that could possibly be lifted, ameliorated, absolved, or dissolved from you that you don't have to carry, that would be done through grace and through the sheer love of God. We ask at this time that the energies be aligned for this transmission, that whatever is shared tonight flows through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and becomes a blessing to all who listen. And just allow that to integrate. And so be it. So in your imagination, just see before you. You can do this with your eyes open or closed. I do it better with my eyes open, but whatever works for you, so you stay conscious. See and envision in your mind's eye a beautiful mountain of light. You can see it from a great distance because it's so high. It's so brilliant. It's so beautiful. And find yourself drawn to that mountain, and as you approach it, make your own password that only you know, and it will allow you to pass through the side of the mountain. It can be any word that you want. Okay? Say your password and see the side of the mountain open, and as you enter, it closes behind you. Now, this is your own private version of the Kohinoor. No one else can enter that mountain but you. This is your hiding place, your safety place. This is your zone of protection. Nothing and no one can enter that realm but you and God. So now, as you become acclimated, and again, if you find you need to have more little compartments within the Kohinoor, you can, in fact, create as many little chambers in that mountain as you would like to have. In fact, as you experience being in the mountain of light, you might find that you can create quite a little realm in there for yourself and individualize it and decorate it and make it in a way that's really comfortable, really feels good to you, and a place you can retreat to when you need to. It's a wonderful place to enter when you go to sleep at night. However, again, don't fence yourself in unnecessarily. Always allow yourself room to expand into the soul, which transcends all of these forms that you create on the inner realms. The soul doesn't need any kind of form to protect it or to convey it. It doesn't need a spaceship to travel. It doesn't need a Merkaba. It doesn't need a place to hide within. So these are simply psychological constructs that may serve you when you feel like you need to get away from it all temporarily, but don't use them as a crutch. That being said, walk into this mountain of light. Go into the interior, and you're being drawn into a room, and as you walk into that room, you find that there's a very comfortable place for you to sit, and there's a huge message board. And now is your time to ask for the message that you need to hear right now in your life. And now begin to see the letters appear on that message board as if they were written by an invisible hand. Your divine self, your high self, is writing. So you're still in the privacy of your own inner consciousness, so don't worry about that. And just look through your third eye now and see what's being written. Write it down. Okay, trust it. Trust it. The message I got just now was really interesting. So you don't have time to think about it, and that's good. You don't want to give yourself time to think because then you mess it up. So whatever you got, just jot it down. And realize that everything we hear, notice, or that happens to us is conveying a message. The question is, are we paying attention? So what is going on in your life right now? And what do you think your present situation is trying to tell you? One of the lessons in A Course of Miracles is all sounds are echoes of the voice for God. And it's true, all sounds are echoes of the divine voice. Everything is a form of divine communication. And yes, everything has a message for you, for us, and for our world. Right now, everything on Earth, in nature, and in the galaxy and universe is trying to get our collective attention. And there are many ways that the universe or the divine spirit is communicating with us every day and through every experience. There are personal messages for each one of us, and there are collective messages for our nation, for our world as a whole. Human beings, if you've noticed, tend to ignore those messages, both personally and collectively, because the predominant tendency is to cling to the known and to repeat the past. And that's where you get into trouble, because that part of you that clings to the known is the false self. It's the fearful self. It's that little ego mind. So even with an abrupt pattern interrupt, as is the case with any major catastrophe, if you notice, as soon as the crisis is over, the old patterns are returned to. So we obviously, it would seem, are not benefiting from our repeated experiences. I know that's not true for everyone, but just, you know, as you look out and watch, how quickly we revert back to the same old, same old. So modern man in particular seems largely out of touch with what the rest of the universe is trying to communicate. The way the rest of the universe is actually living. Not that we're the laggard on the planet, I mean, on, you know, in the galaxy. We're not. There's planets that are in the same level and even lower than Earth's level of evolution. But that doesn't concern us. We're concerned with our particular planet and our particular graduation now into the fifth world, and are moving beyond the human into the superhuman state. So what are some of the obvious messages that are being conveyed to the Earth's inhabitants right now? Well, last last seminar, we spoke about the crop circles that have been conveying the message over and over again that we are headed into a series of disruptive events that are going to culminate in a new earth, and that we need to prepare for them. And that may be frustrating because we don't know how to prepare for them. And that's because those crop circles are communicating at an other than conscious level, so it bypasses the human ego mind. That's why it's being communicated in the language of the universe, which is through light and sound encodements, through wavelengths and modulations of light and sound, so that it communicates to you on a solar level, on a spiritual level, that doesn't get contaminated with your mind monkeying around with it, literally monkeying around with it. So you know on some level exactly what to do. And that's what inspires you to do many of the things that you can't really tell anyone why you're doing what you're doing, or why you think the way you think, or why you're moving where you're moving, or, you know, there's no answers because it's on another level. So changes are occurring that we must pay attention to. And what's the payoff if we don't? Well, if we don't, we're still going to go through the same changes, but they'll be probably, they'll be what they're going to be. But I think if we're to pass through them with a modicum of ease and the less discomfort possible, it's good to pay attention to what you are being told, which bear in mind may be different than anyone else in your family. There's no one answer for everyone. There are many answers. There are many messages that people are receiving. Two people can be living right on top of the San Andreas fault line, which literally we are, and be told to stay there and anchor, which we've been told. And others will be told, move, you know, get as far away from California as you possibly can. So what I'm saying is that we're in the places that we're in for other reasons other than just physical survival, okay? That's not a big deal to me because I know I'm not my physical body. But everyone doesn't have that same degree of certainty and knowing. So the only thing you have to pay attention to is what you are being guided to do. The most obvious, it seems, in terms of messages, is the disruption of our normal weather patterns. Regardless of the cause, our food production is being affected. And we must adapt to these changes and develop new ways to feed ourselves. You know, what if, God forbid, we did have a situation in which we couldn't transport our food by rail or air or boat or cars, and we were left with what we could grow ourselves? That may not be a consideration for everyone, but some of you may be guided to plant a garden or whatever. Not everyone is being guided to do that. So again, listen to what you're being told to do. The most serious message, I believe, that's being conveyed is by the die-off of the bee colonies, which directly affects the necessary pollination to produce so many crops. I heard in China that they're actually resorting to human pollination by hand. Now that's really a labor-intensive job. Wouldn't it be easier to just simply identify and stop using the poisons that are killing the bees? Another thing is the melting of the polar caps and the shrinking and disappearing of the glaciers worldwide. This is a global concern. The message? A forewarning of the sudden and dramatic rise of global ocean levels and the inundation and disappearance of many coastal cities and island nations. And another concern is that the fresh water from the melting polar caps is going into the ocean, which reduces the saline content. and it's slowing down the jet stream, which is driven by the salt in the ocean. The result? The sudden dramatic decrease of global temperature. I remember in the 80s when Mother Mary gave many messages about the upcoming earth changes through a marvelous book by Annie Kirkwood called Messages from Mother Mary. And also Saint Germain through Laurie Toy Wilkerson drew the I Am America map, and if you remember that, about what our future topography would look like. I remember Saint Germain saying distinctively that this wouldn't happen overnight, but over a long period of time, and that these changes would be preceded by many events that would allow people the heads up and the time to gradually relocate to higher and safer areas. But that was back in the 80s, okay? So we've been having consistent wake-up calls about certain areas not being viable much longer. I remember the Ashtar Command fleets also gave many warnings about what we needed to do at that time to prepare for the foreseen future Earth changes, which now we're right in the middle of them. Now, for example, if Katrina had a message, what do you think it was? Do you, by any stretch of the imagination, think it would be to rebuild in the same way, in the same location, and continue living exactly as before? I don't think so. What about Galveston, Texas? Joplin, Missouri? And so forth. What about Hurricane Sandy? Was this a forewarning of the necessity of moving inland, away from the receding coastlines? The Ashtar Command, way back in the 80s again, even before the 80s, advised that it would be advantageous to start moving at least 200 miles inland. I thought it was interesting that Hurricane Sandy went at least 200 miles inland, and I think actually a little beyond that. So, again, to be forewarned is to be prepared. And yet it looks like most communities that were impacted are simply rebuilding in the same places and in the same ways. It appears that our species just doesn't learn from past experiences at all. Another thing is that portions of the sea are found to be dead or dying, and certain fish that once were very much in abundance have been harvested now almost to the point of extinction. And yet the eating habits and the fishing habits continue on as if none of this was a message of the need for serious lifestyle changes. Thousands of cattle, for example, perished in the droughts. The drought afflicted areas of Texas, Southwest, and the lands in many portions of the United States are becoming veritable dust bowls from overgrazing, deforestation, and single crop agriculture. Yet no changes seem to be considered or, you know, in evidence at all. So unlike the indigenous people who could live and do live on their land for hundreds and sometimes thousands of years and leave it much the same as before, if not better, modern man has nearly destroyed the entire planet's ecosystems in less than 200 years. You know, if we had just allowed the Native Americans, who were the legal custodians of America, just looking at America alone, if instead of trying to co-opt them into our systems, which we actually came from a foreign land to get away from, if we had instead become humble and allowed them to teach us a new way to live, we wouldn't be in this mess today. You know, it's that ego mind that's so predominant in modern industrialized man. So what about those devastating tornadoes, which are, as we speak, rampaging up and down Tornado Alley? And these have literally scoured entire communities off the map. It's unbelievable, the devastation. So why in the world would any structure, especially public structures like hospitals and schools, for example, be permitted to be constructed without an under... shelters. This isn't, you know, rocket science here. This is paying attention. But why rebuild in areas known to produce sudden tornadic destruction, especially after the same areas have been hit more than once in the past? Good question, don't you think? Then there are the asteroids, which never were a concern until, you know, some independent observers began to look at the sky. There was no official body that monitored those things, scientific body. So now you know why the people of other planetary civilizations live on the interior of their planets. We also have a hollow Earth. All planets are hollow. They all have an inner sun. They all have life and cities and different beings that live in the earth. That's why the native indigenous peoples believe that they come up out of the earth. They did. They did. They're the survivors of Atlantis and Lemuria that came up to the surface of the planet. So what does it take for people to get the message that the weather on planet Earth is changing? Moreover, it may never, in our lifetimes at least, return to the way it was before. What about the message of the global oil spills, the nuclear reactor leaks and radioactive contamination? The earthquake-inducing practice of fracking for natural gas. The industrial waste contamination of our dwindling water supplies and sources, our groundwater. They say that one of the things of the fracking is that people are turning on their spigots and not only smelling gas, but the gas becomes ignited so that you open to get water and you get gas and fire coming out of your water hydrants. That's crazy. You don't see that on the evening news, do you? I would have to ask here, why in the world did the people that were in positions of authority be so narrow-minded and selfish as to deny the many times that extraterrestrial, more advanced civilizations have offered this planet free energy? The only thing that was asked was to quit making bombs and seeking to destroy life. That was the only stipulation, the abolishment of armatures and warfare. Interesting. So instead we're doing these other things now. And then there are desert communities and states like this one of California that depend upon the Colorado River and the Hoover Dam and Lake Mead, like in the case of Nevada and Las Vegas, to provide water and electricity for millions of people. What if the grid goes out? What if the dam breaks? You know, many of these bodies of water, interestingly enough, are starting to disappear or dwindle to an alarming rate. Why is that? The Earth is changing. It's moving. It's a living entity. It's groaning. It's making sounds. As it readjusts, what do you think those sinkholes appearing all over the world are all about? Yeah, the plates are shifting. Things are happening. And there are many cities that were built, go figure, near volcanoes, which in some cases, despite decades of dormancy, could suddenly erupt at any moment. And what about cities built near known active volcanoes, like Mount Etna and Mount St. Helens, and even Mount Rainier? You know, it's been dormant for a while, but one of the prophecies of the Native Americans is that grandfather is going to speak, and that's grandfather. So who planned cities without considering the fault lines, tectonic plates, proximity to volcanoes, and overall vulnerability factors of the location? You know, only people who are completely in ego mind, out of touch with the earth. Only modern man who only thinks of short-range benefits, goals, and objectives, and usually has an eye to commercial gain and profit of some sort. Then there is the consistent message for over 67 years that we are not alone in this universe. Hello! Despite countless appearances of spacecraft and testimonies of hundreds of credible people who have had extraterrestrial contact and even been taken for visits to the moon and nearby planets. Who listened? Who believed? Who paid any attention? So I'd have to ask, what was the benefit of any of it? Do we just scratch that off as a mission failed? What do we do? You know, how do we get the attention of the inhabitants of planet Earth? It seems only a few people are really interested, and most don't care one way or the other. And those are simply the facts. So, what to do? Practically speaking, make the wisest, most conscious choice you possibly can within the parameters of your given situation. Pay attention to your messages. And this may sound dire, but it's the best advice you'll ever get. And it's the one that the Avatar Sai Baba was constantly telling us. And that's prepare to leave this world, this life, this body, this personality. For you simply don't know when you'll be called to leave it all behind. I've had a couple of those near-death experiences. How suddenly they come upon you, and you realize, wow, those plans I had made aren't going to happen. I've got to leave it all behind. And there was no forewarning. Oh, there probably was. Probably your health was one message you were ignoring. You know, some people think, oh, well, it doesn't matter about my body. I'm not my body. I was one of those. Oh, it doesn't matter if I take care of my body. I'm not my body. I'm going to merge into a light body. I'm going to ascend. I don't need to take care of the physical. Ho, ho, ho. So we can certainly, you know, do foolish things that are very, very impractical when it comes to taking care of ourselves and being viable on every level of our being. That's not discounting miracles and supernatural events and all those wonderful things, but we're talking about practical spirituality. We're talking about where most people live from, which is not from an ascended soul-aware state. Even the best of light workers seem to be living in kind of a fantasy of what they think might happen or will happen. And very few of them are really, really grounded, you know, to where you see a consistent presentation of higher awareness brought forward into their daily activities. They're kind of out to lunch or in la-la land. And that's not as a criticism, because I probably qualify as a space cadet myself. If not, I am a space commander, but, you know, one of the space cadets out to lunch type, I will own that too. I've been pretty much in every level of consciousness that I address in these radio shows. Why do you think I address these topics? Because I've been there, done that, believed that, and did all that stuff myself. So do whatever you need to do to deal with, heal, and address the negative issues of your life. These are where you get bogged down. Make peace with everyone and everything in your life, including God. Many people have a real negative attitude towards God because they've made a God in their own image and likeness. That's the vengeful God that's keeping score up there with a big iPad, you know, jotting down all the things you're doing wrong and planning to roast you in purgatory or hellfire. That's the God of your own creation. That's not the God that the travelers speak of, or that Sai Baba speaks of, or that those of us who have actually been to the higher realms have experienced. God lives in you as you. Otherwise, God is simply all that is. All that is. And all there is love. So another advice is quit creating more bad karma for yourself and those that come into your aura of influence. Think and engage your heart, your compassion, your goodwill before you speak or act. Be kind and courteous to everyone, treating everyone as you would like to be treated if you were in their place. Be here, present, and aware. In your life, right now, this moment, you're going to miss your messages if your head is stuck in the past or you're projecting into the future. In fact, Jesus said in the Course in Miracles, the minute you think of the past, your mind is blank. You're not creative. The minute you project into the future, your mind is blank because the future doesn't exist. So you go into a complete unproductive, non-creational mode when you're in the past or focused in the future. You're not showing up. Nothing's happening. You're getting caught in the old conditioning. So to be creative with God, to be a co-worker, a co-creator with God, means here and now, here and now, here and now. Spirit is present only in the nowness, not in the future, not in the past, the nowness. That's why you have to be centered in the nowness to actually hear your message. So do your best and give your best each day to whatever task falls to your lot. And live your life in a way that when you pass to the next dimension, you will not cringe when you look at your life review. Yeah, one of the first things that happens when you leave your body is that you're taken to the hall of remembrance, or the hall of memory, and you get to see your whole life from start to finish. And let's hope we laugh a lot and it's not cringeworthy. Better still, do your own life review right now before you cross over. Take your own inventory on a regular basis and course correct now so that you keep consistently aligned with your true values and life's objectives. And again, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to spend time each day in quiet reflection and to journal the messages that come to you as they come to you. You know, pay attention. Sometimes the energy of spirit glances off your consciousness. In other words, it comes in so obliquely that the ego mind causes it to kind of bounce. It doesn't really settle in because you're not truly present. There's no room for it to come in. So that's when you tend to forget it. As soon as it goes in to your aura, it's gone, you know? Like a quasar. It goes through your sky of consciousness and it's gone. So try to register the messages. Be more attentive to the messages that come to you. The more you value recalling those messages, recording those messages from spirit, the clearer and more abundantly apparent they will start to show up in your life. And again, live in gratitude for what you do have and for what you can do. Always use your present life so that you have a win-win in it. Win in your own story. Win in your own scenario. Win in your own eyes. Be a winner in your own self-appraisal. Now, abrupt changes will continue, and all that can be shaken will be shaken. Only that which is built in harmonic resonance with ongoing life will be left standing at the end of this cycle. So that means just about everything man has made to control and manipulate others will ultimately fail and collapse. As we've shared over the years, it is possible to live in higher awareness now and to be in the world and not of the world. That is always an available option. But it requires your complete enlistment and engagement. You'll need to make and maintain that conscious shift, no matter what. If that is your priority, then you've been living and demonstrating that for some time now, and you know if that pertains to you or not. And now I realize that many of you may not be quite up to that rigor and that challenge. And if so, I hope for your sake that there will be some supernatural assistance. I think many find themselves unprepared and in the foolish virgin category. You know, unprepared for the sudden arrival of the bridegroom. They didn't take time to put oil in their lamps. But you know, it's never too late to do all you can to prepare as best you can while you still have life and light in this world. Do what you can to enter an entirely new phase of life, for that is where we're all headed, ready or not. You know, as light workers, we're drawn into these various polarized states only until we become aware that the state we are seeking lies beyond all polarization. I marvel at these people who think that they can win by seeing other people destroyed or losing or being left behind. I just don't get the loving of God in that. How could you possibly feel satisfied in your own imagined worthiness before God and your own imagined secure arrival in, quote, heaven, if most of the other people, your beloved brothers and sisters, are all doomed to hellfire? Where did that point of view ever get inserted in the minds and hearts of people? How can you go to sleep and be happy or have any kind of joy when you know so many people in your belief system are not going to be enjoying that with you. So it's win-win for all, or it's no win at all. That's my understanding from what I've been taught and experienced and seen in the inner realms, is that we are one life, and that life we share with God. God lives in every single human being, whether or not they are consciously in connection with that or not, whether or not that divine spirit can actually source through that life stream or not. It's breathing, it has a heartbeat, that means God is present. Now the ego could just be totally screwed and doing all sorts of wacko things. Doesn't discount the fact that every single human being is worthy of love and respect and redemption and is part of God. It is possible, and you see it every day, to be so out of connection with those higher aspects of the self that literally you're like an ego run amok. That's where you see people doing these senseless crimes and committing these terrible atrocities and getting hoodwinked into these horrific cults and religious belief systems that are so cruel and vengeful. That comes from being open to what is called religious spirits. They're actually possessed by thought forms that take over their life to where they no longer have individual thought that is being transmitted from their higher buddhi or intellect. They're cut off from their higher principles. And that's when you see these fanatics and these really crazy doctrines being acted out on the planet. This is possession. It's a form of possession of astral, lower astral entities. And you notice these people, they have no conscious thought when they're operating out of those possessive thought forms. And then they stay in that company and reinforce those negative thoughts by reading literature that's negative and inflammatory and polarizing and listening to inflammatory rhetoric. They keep feeding that consciousness and those entities that are sourcing through them. And that's what you call that fanatical element that really is an enemy to itself and to harm to other people. That is something we need to be wise and not allow ourselves to be drawn into the belief systems of other people. I don't care who they are, if their life isn't a manifestation of compassion, humility, and love, run. Get away from them. Get away from these controlling and manipulative people who are trying to incite hatred and vengeance against humanity and nations and people. Be smarter than to allow your mind to be possessed with such negative states of belief. So we are meant to awaken and become aware so that we can maintain the presence of divine awareness no matter what is going on around us. Then we can really be there to assist others to stand in confidence and strength. And that is quite an achievement. But that is the reward for consistent remembrance of who and what you truly are, which is embodiments of the pure love of God. And until that spiritual equanimity is fully established, you just keep returning to conscious awareness every time you slip. Every time you go unconscious, every time you get sucked in, every time you get entrained in some fantasy or illusion or negative patterning or reactive patterning, every time you come present in that reaction and choose again, you can course correct. And then it becomes a habit where you course correct as soon as you become aware and you move back into being the divine witness and observer. And you just become a facilitator of the divine love in this world. That's all you're here to do, is to escort everyone's consciousness that you come into contact with the beloved. Escort them into the presence of the beloved. So do your duty, but don't get lost in the doing. Always keep a part of your attention upon what is really going on. Ask yourself, what is really going on behind what I think is happening? Because what you think is happening is usually an interpretation that your personality, ego mind is making. And it rarely has any bearing upon what really is happening. What's really happening is that you are a divine being dreaming a temporary human experience. And none of this stuff down here that you think is going on is really going on or even important in the long run. So have fun with your life. It is not all that big a deal. And you can actually take as long as you like to fine-tune your practice. But if you want to graduate with this particular life wave, get a move on. You know, it's not business as usual. It's not business as usual. You can't imagine and think that your life is going to necessarily be anything of what it was in previous lifetimes when you had all the time in the world to marry and get married and see your kids through college and get your job promotions and all of that. This life's not about that. You just happen to choose the final graduation of major and minor cycles that are all converging and culminating right now in this lifetime and in this cycle. That means you're incredibly, incredibly capable of rising to the challenge of these times. You have all the knowledge, the wisdom, the equipping, everything you need, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. Too many souls wanted to have that opportunity that you currently have for you not to be prepared and worthy and capable of handling it. So quit telling yourself the defeating stories and begin to pump yourself up with your own knowing. Begin to speak the truth to yourself and drop your victim story. The only thing you're ever a victim of is your own unwillingness to own your divinity. That's all. You're a victim of no one and nothing but your own limited self. So that divine self that you truly are, beyond your human ego mind, is ever free. Your true spiritual identity remains totally unaffected by any condition or situation that is occurring in the world. Remember that. As the Bhagavad Gita states, fire cannot burn it, water cannot drown it, neither can it be destroyed by any means. The self remains untouched by birth and death. It is forever free, forever immersed in bliss. And that is who you are. And that is where you are always. Your challenge is to heed that message and to bring every facet of your being into congruency with that. So let's chant Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which is the Sanskrit vibrational tone for peace. And let us send it forth like ripples in a pool, throughout this planet, this galaxy, this universe, and to all beings everywhere. Deep breath. Shanti, shanti, shanti. God bless you all. May you move into the deepest levels of your own divine self and be immersed in the bliss and freedom therein. That is my prayer for all of you this evening. Good evening, and Adonai.